Welcome to the Best Practice Network Apprenticeship Podcast, your space for real conversations that supports professionals working in early years, schools and apprenticeships. I'm your host, Emma Minchella. I'm the Deputy Curriculum Manager for Apprenticeships here at Best Practice Network, and I'm joined by Program Lead for the Early Years Senior Leader Program, Tasha Singleton.
Hello, how are you, Emma?
Not bad. It's been lovely to see you today.
Good to see you as well. I know, we've been busy, haven't we? We've been busy.
Really busy. And we're really excited today because we are joined by someone who might be familiar to some of you, but it is one of our fantastic team friends. We have got the wonderful Tamara Priestman, who is our functional skills tutor, and she is going to be joining us to talk about all of the wonderful things about functional skills. Welcome, Tamara.
Hello.
It's me saying yes, yay, Tamara, happy day.
Tamara, how long have you worked at Best Practice now, Tamara?
So a couple of weeks ago, I've been with Best Practice Network 2 years.
And how many learners do you think you have seen through functional skills?
Yeah, so initially I was dealing with additional learning support and just one-to-one sessions. So, I mean, I would have seen roughly 100, I think, in that sort of first year to 18 months. But then sort of the beginning of last year, things changed a bit and I started doing the virtual classes. And I'm pretty sure I've seen a couple of hundred since then. So actually the numbers have greatly increased.
I think it's safe to say you're a queen bee. Would you agree, Tasha, with that?
I would. And I was going to ask you, why do you think your numbers have increased then? Why do you think you've had this uptake in participation in your virtual classrooms?
Well, for me, maths and English is about everyday life. It's I've got a son who's 24. I've got a daughter who's 32. I remember, you know, several years ago when my daughter started university, we went shopping and we said, right, what are you going to purchase? And she was like, oh, well, I'll get this ready meal. And then we said, well, if you get this bag of pasta and you get this tomato sauce and these few vegetables, you can actually make more than one meal and it costs less than the ready meal. Oh, right. Okay. Lovely. And then my son, this is the washing machine. This is what you should be putting the wash on. So you've got to buy washing powder. You've got to be able to wash it and then hang it out. So you've got to learn about time and purchasing the goods that you need and managing your money. So for me, it's very much about supporting everyone, manage their money really well so that they can have a life where there's less stress. I don't know, have either of you watched Batch Cooking? I think it's on Channel 4 with, what's his name? Married to Stacey Solomon.
Oh, Joe Squash.
Yeah, that's it. He's probably more famous. Anyway, so they're batch cooking. So all of these ideas that they do on these particular programs, I take away with me and I try and support the learners that we have at Best Practice Network to actually see that fractions and decimals and percentages is all just about everyday life. And it's about how we portion things up for the children that we're looking after. And Emma, the other day, you said about the activity times that they need during the day for a toddler. And it needs to be, was it 160 minutes?
Yeah.
Something like that. So all of these conversations that I have around children and young people and your workplace and things like that, I kind of gather all this evidence and I make it make sense. And then I kind of regurgitate it in my classes and hope that it gives you some tips and tricks for everyday life and makes things a little bit simpler and easier. So that's why I do it.
Tamara.
It is. And I was quite proud of myself because I was mapping at ASDA the other day because they had 8 packs of Cherry Pepsi Max, which I'm a little bit addicted to, for £3.50.
Yeah.
And they had a 24 pack for £12. So I did the math and I went, wait a minute, it's actually cheaper to buy the 3 8-packs, that's £10.50 for 24 cans, instead of 24 cans for £12.
Absolutely.
I was very proud of myself. I think I sent you a picture, didn't I, in our house?
Yes.
And I said, look, I was mathing today.
Yeah. And it is a case of that, isn't it? Because we use maths all the time. And the people that come to my classes, they're very anxious around maths and they say they don't use it. And when I just point out, well, what time did you get up? Why did you get up at that time? Well, I need a shower. I need to get my children ready. I need to do this. I need to do that. I said, so you worked out how long it takes you to shower, how long it takes you to get your children ready, how long it takes to get to work, what money you need to get for the bus, or how much fuel you need in the car, or, and you've paid your tax and insurance on your car. And they're like, oh, right. Yeah. But you're doing it subconsciously. So all I'm doing is actually saying, well, this is how you're using maths every day. So we'll just do it a little bit more consciously. And youngsters, instead of zapping their phone and paying for things, why don't they get out a bit of cash and then manage their money as they're going around the shop? A bit like Tasha's just said, working out the cost of things and which is the better value for money, that kind of thing. So yeah, it's tapping into what you're already doing. That's what I love to do. Because when people realise the amount of maths that they're using, they then have the tools to go, oh, right, I'm already doing that. So I'm just going to be more conscious of it every day and where I use it and how I can use it a little bit more effectively by having the extra tools that I've learned in tomorrow's sessions.
I love that, Tamara. And I think there is a lot of fears around learners attending virtual classrooms for functional skills. And for myself, I think I've often shared that 1 year at secondary school, the only thing I learned to get out of having a detention was that my maths teacher's carpet was cornflower blue. Yes, if you're listening, Mr. Connell, that's all I learned. Sorry. But it was a fear. And after that year, I actually took a bit of an adverse feeling towards maths, and it wasn't anybody's fault. It was because it wasn't taught in a way which is approachable and friendly and encouraging. Tasha, you've talked about some of your maths kind of barriers.
Absolutely. I had a real fear and a real barrier to maths. It doesn't come easily to me. I'm very English oriented. Well, I say that I can work things out. I do know maths, but I just had this mindset, this fear that I don't know maths, that I'm not good at maths. I don't know why. Maybe that was from, you know, it was very prescriptive maths teaching when I was in school back in the dinosaur years. So maybe that, I don't know, but yeah, I've had to overcome, and you've had a lot to do with that, Tamara, changing my mindset with maths.
I was going to say to Tamara, because I know that you've had learners on your sessions that have been incredibly anxious. So I was going to ask you, what do you do that supports these learners? What are the types of things you do to get them? Because you are very popular.
On a regular basis, I have people crying at me about maths. And very much like Tasha was just saying, that she said, oh, well, I'm not very good at maths, that kind of thing. Mm. Well, actually, what it is we have an embarrassment around maths. So if you got the time wrong, or you worked out the cost of something incorrectly, or you arrived somewhere late because you hadn't factored something else in, we have a lot of embarrassment around numbers and how people perceive it. So if you can imagine, you're at school and somebody does the 9 times table really quickly, 9, 18, 27, 30, blah, blah, blah. And you sit
and do that.
Yeah, exactly. Literally, there's a great one to do, yeah. However, somebody's sitting there and they're working it out on their hands, yeah? Now, what they're seeing is that we all have to be at that level. Mm. And the first thing I'm going to tell you in my class is that I get things wrong and I have to work them out. And I am not here to make you do something quicker than you're able to. You're not based on somebody else. You're based on how you're taking in the information. How do you use the formulas and functions? So let me give those to you so you have the correct way of working out a fraction of an amount or a percentage of an amount. Then This is why I never have a screen on, because I always show you, this is what you're going to need in my lessons, okay? So I'm not expecting you to do a mental arithmetic. I want to give you the tools that you need to be able to work something out, but you can use a calculator because you have one on your phone and you'll have one in everyday life. And actually, when we get to the exam, you should be more confident in a little bit of mind maths that by the time we get there, you won't have those anxieties. So it's getting rid of the anxious feeling that you felt when you went to the maths classes at school, when everybody's getting it right and you don't understand it and then moved on to a next topic and blah, blah, blah. So my virtual classes, I do several of the same topic every month. So several fractions, several percentages, several decimals. And those are your foundation math skills. And the reason I put so many is I want you to join all of them. Because if it takes you 4, 5, 6 fraction classes to get it, that's absolutely acceptable. So it's not about how many times you join. It's not about getting it right the first time. It's about coming along, feeling comfortable, joining in if you can. And then at the end of the session, I have give everybody the opportunity to talk to me on a one-to-one basis if they're not feeling it or they need a little extra support as well. And to go back and support the tutor with, you know, the next part of your journey and how many virtual classes you can join. So really come along and meet me and talk to me and then find out how the classes are actually going to go. Because I think a lot of the time, I'm not a maths professor. I'm not going to stand in front of you and make you do algebra. It's about how you use it every day. And then we can relate it then to potentially the exam that you might do.
Well, I have heard, and Emma, you'll back me up on this, nothing but good things about you, Tamara, from the learners. Such amazing feedback. They talk about you. And do you know what? You've done something that I would have said was impossible. You have made maths and English, well, English is fun for me, but you have made maths fun. This is what I hear all the time, that you have, your sessions are fun. Your sessions are engaging. They're enjoyable. People are enjoying maths now, Tamara. What have you done? It's a revolution. How have you managed that? What have you done to make that happen?
You've got to start with something that's really fun and engaging. So I always start with big maths. And it's a really fun topic. And it's just the order that you do things in. And I use a Simpsons game. And it's good fun, interactive. And I take it nice and slowly. And I play it twice. And I had one lady, and she was a little bit older, in her 40s, and she'd really struggled at school. And actually, she'd missed quite a lot of schooling, and there were some other issues that she'd had in her life. And so we started with big maths, and she said she went home and she danced around the living room going, I can do big maths. And her children then did some big maths tasks with her, and she got them right. And they went, how do you know that? You know, so all of a sudden, I've given her something really clear and tangible that's maths related that made utter sense. That then makes the other sessions make sense. And I had to find a way to teach something when I didn't really know like the complexities of it. So I'm just going to give you one example. So big maths is brackets, indices, divide, multiply, add, and subtract. Okay. Now you could follow that, brilliant, but you don't get it right because you do the brackets first, then you do the indices, then division and multiplication have the same value. So you do those next, but you do them equal left to right. And then you have addition and subtraction. They have equal value. You do those left to right. Now we're not told that at school. And so when I explain that and then I show that, that makes much more sense. Then I've got a Padlet that I've put all of the extra bits together. So they've got my session, but then they've got all of my explanation on a Padlet, and I email that at the end of the session. So they've got that then to continue with the worksheets. But then they can join another big maths class if they're not quite fully confident with it and give it another go. So it's not just, there's the lesson, see you later, hope you've understood it. There's a lot of follow-up that I do with it. So you are given all of the resources from the session that I deliver as well.
To consolidate that knowledge, isn't it? Is being able to go over it again. And excellent. Thank you so much. Oh, wow.
I love that you have those moments where things suddenly click. It's just a beautiful moment. And I think we take such pride in that when we work with pupils, young children, but we don't really as adults do that. We don't say, well done me, or
yes,
we don't do that. And I think for me, one of the I've actually joined, learners listening, I've been very privileged to have math sessions with Tamara on our team days. Mm-hmm. And I do come away going, oh, I've learned something. I've got something. That's a tool that I can now use. And I love that feeling when something clicks.
Yeah, it's really about just understanding the foundation math skills, and then we build on that. So very much for maths, it's building on that. And then I'm just going to touch on English, because there are people that come to the table and they've really not kind of got the confidence around English. So with English, it's about finding your voice. So some of the students that we have are very young, and they've never written a letter or an email in an adult world. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing again with the English is I'm making it very much everyday tasks that you're going to do. So I'll just give you an example. If I've got a young apprentice working at a nursery and they want to give some information to a parent about that child from the day, so they're writing a bit of a report, what needs to go in there? How does it need to be written? What is your spelling, punctuation and grammar like? So that when you're doing then your assignments for your tutor, you're thinking about your spelling, punctuation and grammar. You're thinking about, does it make sense? Is it clear? Is it going to give the right information to the parent? So recently there's been this thing on meningitis, isn't there, on the news? So this is another thing that I do. So I would then reference the meningitis on the news. Now, what would be most relevant for them to give information-wise to the parent? There was a rash on the child. The child was lethargic. Do you know what I mean? So what we're doing is you're building up a picture of the child. So, oh, that child's going home. You've given that information to the parent. The parent's then looking out for those signs. So the child's not been themselves today. They've been a bit sleepier or what have you. So they can kind of keep continuing to watch the monitor the child. So if that gets any worse, they take them straight then to the doctor. So they go, oh, right, that's why I'm writing a report. That's why I'm giving them the information. And sometimes they don't know that's why they're writing a report. They just go, oh, little Jimmy had a banana sandwich and an app. But actually, if little Jimmy didn't eat his banana sandwich, or he slept for 2 hours longer than he would normally, that's actually an indication that Jimmy's not quite right that day. Oh, right. That makes sense. So that's why I'm writing what I'm writing. That's why I'm using the math that I'm using. So that's where I tie it up. So that's what I do within my sessions.
So you're using, again, real life in actual examples to illustrate what it looks like, because that makes it more meaningful when we've got these examples, doesn't it? We talk about that in endpoint assessment all the time, making sure you're using examples of your practice in order to evidence. And so I imagine it's the same thing when you're trying to learn. If you can tie it to something that you know or that you do every day, makes the learning easier. We spend a lot of time, I think, with our apprentices as well, talking about career progression, talking about upskilling, you know, talking about soft skills and just in building skills. How important do you think an understanding of maths, or even improving your maths and or your English skills, how important is it when it comes to future career goals or just getting ahead in life? What do you think, Tamara?
Well, honestly, I can't tell you. If I did my functional skills after I'd done my degree, and I wish I'd done it before, because it would have made all of the averages and you know, all of the data that I collected and everything, I could have used so much more effectively. Mm. So actually, I did it all a bit the wrong way around. So I do feel that if we capture people at the very beginning of their educational journey and their career progression, and we give them these tools now, it makes such a huge difference. Spelling, punctuation and grammar is through everything. So you want to sound that you know what you're talking about. You want to be able to read something that's clear and coherent and concise and makes sense. And then you want the maths, whatever that you've, because we all do a lot of research. I mean, I say to the apprentices, so you will all work with the same children, but each of you will have an opinion on little Jimmy, say. So say, for instance, little Jimmy's not meeting his milestones. You're talking with each of those other professionals and you're all agreeing perhaps he's not meeting his milestones. So that leads to checking for ADHD or autism or something else or something else. So you're already gathering data, you're gathering information. So then when I talk about fact, opinion and bias, so we all have an opinion about little Jimmy, but then we change that into, well, everybody has the same opinion. So then we send that little Jimmy to a specialist, then it becomes fact. Then little Jimmy has had a diagnosis of ADHD or whatever it is. So then they can more effectively support him. Oh, right. So that how it all ties together. So academically, we've started off with fact, opinion and bias in a conversation I've had. But actually, academically, you're then moving on to all the research that you've done around these children or all the research you've done around whatever topic it is that you want to specialise in. And then you've like, but you've got the foundation skills of both your English and maths to build all this beautiful data and research on.
Yeah.
So that's what you're doing. So for me, I'm the start of the journey and I want that to be a really good start. So I want them to engage and enjoy maths and English so that then is not a barrier to however far they want to go, to their PhD. And then when they do their PhD and they send me a message saying I'm now a professor of whatever, I just go, you see, it all starts with those small seedlings, doesn't it, Tasha?
It does indeed. It takes
you
a little
plant it.
And you nurture it.
Absolutely.
You give it, you know, fertile soil and sun and water. You give it what it needs and it grows and it grows and it grows.
Absolutely. So that's
when you both are talking about that, I naturally go to Steiner. I'm just thinking of style, how wonderfully that links into the Steiner approach. I love that.
If I ever were to go back into working in nurseries, I would go full Steiner Waldorf. I love a bit of Steiner Waldorf. I actually really do. It's beautiful. Sorry, we're derailing a little bit from.
Oh, that's.
I know. Yeah. I agree. It's all.
I love it.
It's all relevant.
It's the approach that Tamara uses, and it's one of my
gentle, nurturing, yes. Encouraging that independent thought.
Building their confidence. If we start with a little bit of confidence for them to join in the class in the first place and then see the relevance of the topics and why they're doing that, then it all becomes a little less of a chore and a bit more, oh, well, actually, where can I use this? How can I use this? And I'm enjoying this. If they say they're enjoying my lessons, winner.
They do say that, don't they, Emma?
That is literally the consensus.
That is what we see. That is what you have, I think, are a miracle worker. I think you have just done such a good job, and you're really changing those minds and you're changing attitudes, which I think is fabulous.
I love problem solving. I love a really good use of the English language. I want them all to be able to purchase their first house and car and business and be the CEO of whatever. But it all starts with the little seedlings.
No, indeed.
Plant the seed and there it pops up.
I just love that. It's just, it's made me feel warm and it's just made me, it's so much what, I know me and Tasha very much believe in that kind of approach. And I think that's what in academics sometimes you miss, and that's where you get people lost. So
Tamara, if you could have one lasting message to send to your learners now and what's next, what would you say to them? Maybe that person that's sitting here listening to this and they're like, oh, should I try and join a session? I've got to do my functional skills, or I can see how beneficial functional skills, maths and English would be to me to grow. What would you say to them?
So it doesn't matter which virtual class you book on one. Just book on one. Just sit there. Join in or not. You can sit in the background. It's absolutely fine. Just come and meet me. Come and see what the environment's like. Come and join in if you want to join in, or have a chat. So wait till the end of the session and have a chat and see how it pans out for you. And sometimes it's just about knowing your journey. So you'll have access to the virtual classes, and on there is a plan your journey session. And it's very much about me taking you through VKSB and your initial assessment and diagnostic assessment, and what that actually means to you and where to start. Because when we say, oh, you've got to do maths, everybody thinks it's a massive word and we've got to learn everything all at once. It's absolutely not the case. I want to make sure you've got the foundation math skills before I move you on to anything else. And I can show you a really clear path using your initial assessment and diagnostic on BKSB, along with the virtual classes and my Padlets and all the other resources that I can give you and all the other support. And then your tutors as well, they're having lots of support from us, so they should be able to support you with that journey as well. Yeah, so I was going to say that the virtual classes you can access via Bud, can't you, on the, what's it called, Canvas?
Yeah, we can access them on Canvas. Tutors can support you with accessing them as well. So whatever you want, we can help support you getting onto these sessions to meet with the lovely Tamara. And yeah. I would just like to add, Tamara, I've known you for being very inclusive. And if you wanted to do if you're really nervous,
yes,
meet Tamara one-to-one for a quick 5 minute, and I promise you, you won't look back.
Yeah. So when you're saying that, if you join the virtual class and you don't have your camera on, you can just private message me on the Zoom just to say, I can't put my camera on, I'm a bit nervous. And I can message you back and say, lovely, stay at the end and then we can have 5 minutes together. And then you can just see how the lesson goes, because actually a few people have done that. After about 10 minutes, they've switched the cameras on and they're joining in. So yeah, it's all good.
Truth is in the pudding.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
And just one more thing. When you've got the virtual class list on your Canvas or whatever it is, take it to your employer and show them what lessons are available. Because if you could join one or two sessions a week, you will be, imagine having support every week for something to do with English and maths. That's going to get you where you need to be. And I do think that your employers need to know what's involved. So if they can be part of this journey with you and support you into booking onto these particular sessions, you're then 100% more likely to achieve, because you've got the backing there and there's continuity as well.
Do you know what? I just thought that is Tamara putting the fun in functional skills.
I love that. That's a new slogan for you, Tamara. I'm sorry.
I like it. Good. Yeah.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining today. It's been so lovely to have you, Tamara, join me and Tasha.
Very welcome.
Thank you, everybody who's joined to listen. If you found today's discussion helpful, please consider subscribing. You can leave a review or a comment. And you can also contact us as well via podcast@bestpracticenet.co.uk if you have any feedbacks or suggestions for the show. And we may revisit them in future episodes. We might get Tamara back for other things that are functional skills or maths and English related. But join the conversation. Let us know your thoughts. But that's it for today's episode. We'll be back soon with more conversation to support you on your journey. So until next time, take care and goodbye.